Thanks for joining us for this installment of Power Walk. Faith in Adversity is the current series being taught by our founder and president, Reverend Paul Cannings. Dr. Cannings is also the senior pastor of Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston, Texas. We make all sorts of plans today, plans for buying a home or vacations or for careers, to find the maximum benefits for ourselves. But what do we do when tragedy hits? Unfortunately, as believers, many of us feel a sense of helplessness and hopelessness. Dr. Cannings urges us not to give in to defeat and despair, but to assess the situation and have a plan that is productive in our adversity. Through the life of Nehemiah, he brings the second part of his message on a productive strategy. Let's listen.
Facing adversity is one thing. It's going to happen, folks, as we talked about yesterday. We're going to have adversity. We have difficulties. We live on earth. Satan is loose. He's an enemy. He goes to heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, day and night, seeking whom he will destroy. There is no end of Satan ever just slowing down, saying, you know, they had enough, man. I've been on their case for a while now. Let me get them a break. No, the Bible says that's not going to happen. These things will take place. The issue is not whether or not we're going to face these things. The issue, as we would see in the book of Nehemiah, is that we need to have a plan that is productive in adversity. Well, yesterday, when we came to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, we listed some things. Number one, Nehemiah, no matter how difficult the situation is, how beyond reason that it could be fixed, no matter how huge, how impossible, how illogical the situation is irrelevant when a person decides to take initiative in trusting God. First, they have to be a surrender to God, which we discussed. He mourned. He fasted. He had a passion for what he was dealing with. A surrender to God. An assertion based on the principles of God. And unity, bringing the people together, focus on the key objective. And the key objective overrides any individual person's needs. We talked about this. He had an intimate relationship with God. Chapter 2, verse 18. So now when he has this intimate relationship with God, there's nothing he thinks he cannot do. So now, folks, look at what Nehemiah does that asserts himself to solve this issue. Sometimes we say we are addressing the problems in our lives. We're not asserting ourselves because when we do, we end up with such resistance like these people do. And we've had so many attacks when we've asserted ourselves, it has driven us to complacency. That's exactly what's happening here. Nehemiah is running into problem after problem after problem. By the time we get to chapter 9, Nehemiah has so many problems, and they're now going after his life because they can't stop him from asserting himself. That's how committed he is to get this problem resolved. Whereas when other people ran into it, they backed up. David's brothers ran into Goliath. They backed up. David said, no, I'm not. He is not a Jew. He's a Philistine. He has no covenant with God. He's uncircumcised. There's a lot of sin piled up on him because he can't get down to the temple. And he's taunting the army of God. Anybody that does that, the Bible says God gonna get him. Okay, don't need all this armor. I'm taking on this issue. I'm going forward. Goliath still is still Goliath. Goliath is still tall. He didn't get short. None of these things changed, but he still moved forward. When I say a person asserts themselves, what I'm talking about is conviction. When we are convinced, in all these verses we quote, I can do all things through Christ. Okay, great. Well, then do all things. I'm more than a conqueror. Well, then go conquer. He's in me is greater than he was in the world. Okay, well, then let's use he was in us. An intimate relationship with God, an intimate walk with God. Then let's work on the development of that spirit of God in us so that we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Let's do this. That's what you find in Nehemiah. This is what you find in verse 18. In verse 18, he comes to the next level. I told them how the hand of my God has been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken. What is Nehemiah saying? I've developed an intimate relationship with God, but is God working through my plans to arrive at this direction I'm going? Nehemiah looked for God's favor. In other words, he looked for God to grant him success as he went along the way. He looked for God to bring him beneficial results. In other words, when he goes to the forest, does he find trees? Is he able to get the people to cut him, to set him up like the king is ordering him to do? Favor. When he's going along the road, does he find people not trying to kill him, to rob him? Find favor. When he goes along the road and he shows the letter, they don't try to stop him and act like the letter is not true, even though the king's seal is on it. Favor. When he comes, he arrives at the land safely. After some people believe 2 years, a year, or months, he got there safely. Favor. He's seeing God's benefits to his life, consistently bringing every step that he takes based on his deep conviction about God's word to a level that benefits others. He is driving towards that goal, and God keeps bringing up ways to get there that Nehemiah himself could not do. Anytime we have an overall goal and we are focused on that goal, and it's not about us, it's going to help the community. It's going to help the church community. It's going to help my family. So I'm constantly thinking of how it benefits others. This is what Christ came on earth. He focused on how it benefited others. Nehemiah is saying, because I'm focused on what benefits others, God keeps working this thing because God is as concerned about their families falling apart. He's as concerned about their families not doing well as they can be, and even more than they can be. Now, we have a spiritual gift. It's for the other people. It's not for us. The gift is something that is for the common good of the body. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. It's for the common good. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. It's to be good stewards to benefit the body. So when we come to church, it's not about us. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, stimulate one another to love and good deeds, from verse 19 to 23. When we are focused on what benefits the kingdom of God, even when you come to the Lord's Prayer, this is exactly what he's saying. It is thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. Give us this day our daily bread for thy kingdom to get done. Don't let temptation take us over for thy kingdom to get done. So he's focused on the will of God because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we came here to give God glory. We came here to manifest the excellent nature of God in and through our lives so that the purpose for which he created us is achieved. So folks, because Nehemiah is committed to that process, he sees God's favor. And when he sees God's favor, it empowers his faith. So Nehemiah now is willing to move forward. And don't forget, he is saying this is a bad situation. He said it in verse 17. Then I said, you see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate. The gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall. This man lost his mind. You just got your saying it's impossible. And then you say, let's get started. But Nehemiah said, I see the favor of God. And when I see God's hand in something, the issue is what's holding you? Folks, in my walk with the Lord, I've driven my wife crazy in the years we've been married. Because I've always said, I'm just looking for the hand of God. Once I find his hand and I know that his hand is a part of what is taking place, we're on. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what is taking place. Doesn't matter how bad it looks. It matters. Is God blessing the process as we go? He doesn't have to fix everything right away. For Nehemiah, the walls don't have to go click, 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 boom, there they are. Because I walked towards the wall and I prayed and I fasted for 4 months and here I am and I'm building. Man, our hands are moving so fast. The wall is getting built real fast because our hands are just going real fast. No. That didn't happen. They have to have a sword. They have to eat and look and build at the wall. It was laborious. They had to work hard because the hand of God was with them. The enemies didn't overtake them. Look at what he says here. So let us arise so that they put their hands to the good work. Now, folks, anytime we're going to face a difficult situation, you have to have people who are committed to respect the leadership that God has called you to provide. You got to have that, or it's not going to happen. So when you bring sacrifice to the table, when you bring determination to the table, when you bring a committed life, do what God has told you to do, people will follow because they see your example and sacrifice, conviction, commitment, surrender to do what God says. But when the first thing hits us, we back up. Why would they follow us? Because they're going to be more things that hit us. And if they follow us to the point where after a few things hit us, they keep seeing us back up, and then they don't hear from us for several days, and then we come in all fired up again, and then we move forward, and then, you know, this person said this, this person said that, and this just didn't happen, and that just didn't happen, and, you know, I'm going to go home and pray about it, and I'll get back with everybody. After a while, they're not going to follow us. But when a person like Paul was willing to die for the cause of Christ, oh, yeah, they're followers. There's always, like he told Elijah when he ran off, hey, there are 7,000 people in a cave, man. You're not alone. I had a backup system. I've got Elijah running around here when you choose not to do what you say. See, God is going to get what he needs done. What we need today is those kind of leaders, because some people just need that stimulus that would drive them to do things in their life they wouldn't have otherwise done until they saw this person be a leader. In the midst of adversity, it empowers them. I love this statement. When he comes to them, talk about the favor of God, talk about how bad it is, say the wee thing, and he's willing to work, and they see the timber he's brought and the soldiers that are there, they're going, this man is serious. And they followed Nehemiah. And this sentence, powerful. So they put their hands to the good work, to the good work, the work that would benefit everybody, because they saw God's commitment to bless their lives. Oh, folks, we could change a lot if someone just rises up and believe God to do the things that God is saying needs to be done. Man, could you imagine the churches coming together in this city and feeding the poor? When we say that Jesus loves you, we really have to preach it? Could you imagine seeing churches coming together and doing a crusade in this city and fire people up for God? We could do so much if we have the common good of God at heart and we're willing to sacrifice to get it done. What are we going to do about our churches? How can we make them great for the glory of God? Stay focused.
A great lesson to remember from Dr. Canning's: to develop a strategy so that the purpose of the adversity is achieved. We trust that this series has been helpful to you. And if you'd like to find out more, specifically what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then give us a call. Our number is 281-260-7402. That's area 281-260-7402. Once again, here's Dr. Cannings with a brief word to you.
As you know, these are difficult times, and we appreciate those who have stuck with us despite all of it. We'd like to finish the year in the black. We need $300,000 to get that done. So give to us. Help us to finish this year in the black. We need your support. You could do it in several different ways. You could give through Zelle. You could write a letter to us to our P.O. Box, which is 920-517, Houston, Texas, 77092. When you do for our gift of $50 or more, you will be able to receive a gift from us, because we want to always find a way to bless your life. We pray that you will become a Power Walk partner by giving to Power Walk. As we finish in the black, we start strong for a new year. Your gift blesses the agenda of God, making an impact in a person's life. God bless you.
Once again, our web address is powerwalkministries.org. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 920-517, Houston, Texas, 77092. Now, as we leave you, remember, if you're allowing your problems to drive you to apathy and complacency, God wants you to rise up and follow the principles we've learned through Nehemiah's life.